What happens when, one day, all of a sudden, millions of people online decide to hate you? Where does it come from, and why do certain public figures become lightning rods for an outrage we often don't fully understand? Well, if anyone knows that feeling, it's Meghan Markle. This is News Talk Daily. I'm Sean Defoe. The Duchess of Sussex, she is back in the headlines, and predictably, it's not for anything positive. A harmless Christmas special on Netflix, 56 minutes of cooking, crafting and cosy domestic cheer somehow became the latest trigger for a full-scale pile-on. And once again, Meghan Markle is the internet's villain of choice. And look, maybe Harry and Meghan don't always help themselves. Maybe the branding's a bit off, or it's a bit cringe. Maybe it gives you a bit of the ick. But the scale and the intensity of the hate, well, that's something else entirely. So why her? Why does Meghan Markle in particular provoke such an emotional reaction as opposed to some other stars that people love to hate, but on a bit of a lesser scale? I mean, she's not the only one. Among those at the sharp end of the 2025 pylon were Sydney Sweeney, the actress, singer, Katy Perry, mostly women, you might notice. Well, someone who has been watching this unfold with a much more balanced eye than most of the internet is journalist and writer Mary McCarthy, who watched Meghan's Christmas special and, shock horror, actually enjoyed it. Mary, you're very welcome to News Talk Daily.
Hi, Sean. I did. I enjoyed it. And it seems I'm a very small niche market because the reviews, as you mentioned, were absolutely diabolical. I mean, her press, the British press, they don't like her, right? She's an easy target. And the thing about selling papers, it's, you know, if you're writing a review column, if it's controversial, if it's emotional, if it's punchy, if it's bitchy, it's more likely to be read. And Meghan is, you know, she's just a gift when it comes to writing a column that is going to get read if you want to be bitchy, if you want to go down that road. I do think that she is unfairly treated. I really do. And particularly this Christmas festive special. I mean, she's already had two seasons of her With Love, Meghan. Have you seen it? Have you seen
it? I have, actually. And I have to admit, like, my wife put it on as kind of one of these things in the background of, you know, we're pottering around the house or she's maybe sitting down for a bit. And I'm the typical man where I sit down and go, oh, jiggers, you know, what's this sort of rubbish that's on? And then watch it and it's actually fine. And I thought, I watched the Christmas special in the lead up to this. And what I thought actually summed it up, you know, in the top corner when you put on something on Netflix and the rating comes up, be it, you know, 16s or whatever. This came up, you, no material likely to offend or cause harm. And yet the internet seems to have a huge problem with it.
Well, exactly. I watched it with my two kids and there was nothing in there. They were slightly mesmerized. So I was a 9-year-old boy, 12-year-old boy. And they, I mean, she's beautiful. She's absolutely stunning, right, to look at. But the previous With Love, Meghans, they're very unchallenging. It's about like cooking and gardening and giving tips, lifestyle tips. So they got completely slated. But the Christmas special, I kind of felt, well, look, Christmas is a time for being frivolous, for being completely non-challenging. Like, everyone puts their most happy face forward. No matter how miserable you are, you put on a good show at Christmas. So, I mean, of course, it's going to be extremely light, and people called it inane, Sean. They called it, I mean, they were, some of them were really, really nasty. Like, you know, they said Meghan came from a broken home and she's desperately trying to create something here that she never had, and she's trying too hard, and, you know, basically she's got no friends because she had to kind of pay these people to come on. And it's just not true.
I saw the Guardian in the article that you've written about this said it was offended and harmed. Like, having watched her make Christmas cocktails, I'm not sure what bit of that was offensive or harming.
I mean, maybe it's just her absolutely gorgeous, like, manicured hands and her Cartier watch and her gold bracelets, and everything is kind of perfect, right? But the thing about Meghan is she's always been like this. This is why I can't really understand why people give her such a hard time. Because when she met Harry, like, it was 2016, okay? And she'd already done a bunch of humanitarian work. She was in Suits. She was already quite a successful actress. She was working with the UN for, like, empowerment of women or something like that, right? So this has always been her stick. Her stick is very earnest. You know, she is quite American, let's say. And, you know, there's all a lot of talk about emotion and her truth and all this kind of thing. And maybe we're just not really that used to it, particularly in Britain. Like, the, you know, you're, the royal women are supposed to be apolitical. They're not supposed, they're supposed to be very smiley and not really say anything at all. And so she is different, right? But I mean, she's always been this way. And Harry, you know, he kind of changed when he met her, and, you know, she changed him. I mean, he was having a really hard time with his mental health. Do you remember that, when he was talking about how the press really, you know, really affected him? And for 10 years, he
did particularly that. As a kid, I mean, there's such intrusion to his life after his mother died.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And he was drinking. Remember, he was like the kind of the playboy prince. And but then afterwards, he came out and said, well, this is why I was just struggling with how I, his mother had been treated. So Harry got with this woman, and she's different, right? It's godsend to the press, because this is not what the royal family have seen before, right? And but initially, the press was quite positive at the start. Do you remember? I mean, you probably don't remember. I said all this to my husband last night. He was like, I have not the fig's notion.
Yeah.
Like, I do really think this is women, which is, was another kind of problem I have with the Meghan thing, is that it's generally, now not all the time, right? But generally, it's women writing these columns, and it's women reading them as well. So I kind of feel, look, maybe we should need to give, like, this whole sisterhood thing, you know, maybe we're not really living it out. But anyway, to go back to your question there, she's annoyed people with this festive thing. And I think it is, well, number one, the main thing I'd say is just trying to get engagement. It's you know, all content, if it's kind of punchy, it's going to get more than my piece, which was like saying, I wrote a piece in the Irish Independent saying, look, it's not that bad. It's kind of sweet, actually. And to be honest, I was in the market for something that was just kind of saccharine. I didn't want anything. I mean, everything is so clever and on social media. You know, it's also sarky, and like, that's great. I love all that as well. But I kind of just wanted straight up nonsense. I was watching it with my kids. They enjoyed watching the crafts, although they were a bit kind of like, you never do that, mammy. Like, why don't you make crackers? And I was like, I'm not going to make crackers. That's never going to happen. But like, we can watch someone making crackers and we can enjoy it, you know?
Yeah, I wonder, is there a bit of that in it? Because like, it's almost as if she is projecting, oh, this is what every family should be doing, this lovely, perfect thing in this this fancy cottage we've rented for millions to film this particular show that Netflix is paying a lot of money for. Like, it is almost sickeningly sweet, but it's not, like you say, I don't think it's massively offensive to people, but if you are watching it and you're like, oh, this is you trying to be sort of relatable and likable, you know, you're not one of us. She, Meghan Markle isn't the common person, and that's fine. She's a superstar, you know, half princess, I suppose. I don't really know what the technical term is now that the whole split with the royal family has had. But maybe do people just find that they're looking, going, Jesus, I'm never going to do this, and why should I hold myself to that standard? Maybe.
Definitely, there's definitely a bang of the kind of Montecito millionaire mom, like that's where she lives in Santa Barbara. I mean, it is, you know, you're like, the cost of living, like most people are like looking at her, going like, this is, you know, you're away with the fairies here. But what the essential thing is that she's saying in this festive thing is, you can make things for people, or you can just be there for people. And like, actually, the two of her friends that turn up for brunch in it, like, they're actually really good friends of hers. And one of them was talking about her, and she did Meghan did a recent interview with Harper's Bazaar. And one of the girls that was in Meghan Markle's festive thing, she was interviewed, and she said Meghan is actually a really, really great friend. Like, she actually, her child died tragically a few years ago. And she says, Meghan is there for me. So yes, it is a very in your face, you know, she is like, all her clothes, everything. I mean, like, you're not going to notice the clothes, Sean, but like, I was like, oh God, that's a gorgeous outfit. I love that.
I mean, but I was noticing the kind of almost Waterford crystal looking drinks shaker that she was, do you know what I mean? All of it, the whole effect, the fancy kitchen, all that, it is very opulent.
It is opulent, and it is, there's the 0.01%, and it's, you know, it's rich. Funny though, I mean, if you look on Amazon, there was lots of stories in recent days about things selling out now, because she had like a kind of a marble platter that she did like a kind of a vegetable wreath, which sounds really kind of obnoxious, but actually it's actually kind of a nice idea. It's just chopping up loads of green vegetables and then putting a little sauce in the middle, and like, it's, you know, it's kind of handy. Like, it's
kind of how you present it, isn't it? Because in the thing, it's like you say, it's this broccoli sprout and celery wreath thing that she's serving to Naomi Osaka. But like, at the end of the day, it's a veggie platter with a bit of hummus. Do you know what I mean? It's not the fanciest thing in the world if you were doing it yourself.
It's not. I mean, I estimate you go round to Lidl, right? And with the tahini spread and the oil that she used and all the vegetables, like you get that under a tenner. So, you know, it is kind of achievable, but it's presented like that was one of the big touch points in the reviews was this broccoli wreath. But actually, broccoli is just a little bit in it. I have never really had raw broccoli. I have to admit, I did like scoop a little bit into the hummus there over the weekend. It's actually really nice. So, I mean, yeah, she does rub people up the wrong way, right? But, you know, she's genuine in the way that this is the way she's always been. You know, when she, before she met Harry, she had this like lifestyle website called Tig, and it was named after her favorite wine. And she used to talk about yoga and, you know, here are my favorite brunch restaurants in Toronto. Like, this is her shtick. Like, this is what she's like. So it's kind of, she's doing this now, 10 years later, she's getting a chance to kind of do what she wanted to do previously. So when people say she's fake, I don't think that's actually fair because this is how she is. I mean, she is a little bit away with the fairies, but she seems like a nice girl. I mean, she seems harmless to me.
There is a little bit, the thing that puts me off slightly about it with the series and with the Christmas special is it, I feel she is trying a little bit too hard to be liked, that she wants her guests and whether they're friends or not and the audience to really like her. And while that's like, you say that about someone wants someone to like you, that's fine. It just comes across, and I don't know, I don't want to say desperate, that sounds harsh, but kind of a little bit desperate.
That's what a lot of the reviews were saying. I just think she comes across as American. Like, I mean, I've met people like her.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of what we would see as face value, kind of desperate and over the top. That is just the way she is. I really do think. And yes, she probably does want people to like her. And she obviously feels very affected by all this media stuff. Like she says she doesn't read it. But I mean, when she did that interview with Oprah, do you remember that interview around COVID? I think it was 2021. So she said she kind of felt suicidal, but the press really turned negative after they got married. So they got married 2018, May 2018, and then autumn of that year, it had all gone belly up. And it was, do you remember? You probably don't remember now, Sean.
No, I do. This is more, I remember. I'm not totally ignorant of the Meghan Markle world.
But I remember like there was all this about the dueling duchesses. Do you remember there was like Kate made Meghan cry? And then actually Meghan came out and said, well, actually, I was the one who cried. And that was a bad move. Like she should have just kept her mouth shut on that. And she shouldn't have said Kate made her cry. But the truth was, people were briefing from the palace. Like that's pretty hurtful, number one. But also the way she was portrayed in the press, not initially now. I mean, there was a little bit of like Harry came out and kind of lambasted the press for racial undertones at the start. And there were some columns that came out. There was one with a headline, Straight Out of Compton, which is kind of like a down and out area, and which is not true. She never lived anywhere near there. But they perceived that as being a bit racist. And there was another column about the royal blood and how she was exotic. But actually, there was a very good documentary made in 2021, and it's called Harry, Meghan and the Press. It's a BBC 5-part documentary. And if you have time to listen, it actually is really, really interesting, not just about Harry and Meghan, but about how the press works. This is the British press mainly. The reason is like they basically didn't really bow down to the press because from the start, Harry was, he's quite negative towards the press. So they weren't going to be like Kate and, you know, they weren't going to give the press what they wanted. So from the start, it was kind of like a very negative set off. But anyway, that documentary is interesting because they interview all the journalists. And why did they write these? So they interview Rachel Johnson. She's Boris Johnson's sister. And she wrote that column saying Meghan had exotic blood, right? And she was saying, look, I wouldn't write it now. It was unacceptable. And I apologize. But I wasn't being racist. I was just saying, you know, she was trying to get like a controversial column out and just to say, oh, look, they're going to make great looking babies. But she wasn't coming from a racist stance. But she says that at the same time, what her editor was looking for was, you know, something that was going to be read and it was going to be clickbait. And if you use exotic, that's what's going to happen. Like today now, she says that couldn't happen because the whole culture war stuff kind of dovetailed with Meghan and Harry. That the whole examination of like gender, race, like why do we think the way we do? And there was more of an examination of that. So she could never write that column now. It would never be printed. But at the time it was printed and it was perceived as racist by Meghan and Harry. I don't know if I call the covers, certainly online that you get misogyny and you get racism with Meghan Markle. I don't think the press coverage was racist.
But do you think that in general, whatever with the press coverage, the general attitude is more vicious towards Meghan because of racism compared to even, say, Victoria Beckham had a very, you know, not quite similar, but had another a documentary out on Netflix recently and goes through her passions and sort of her hobbies and gives that side of her. I don't remember her getting anywhere near the abuse. Or you can pick whatever other example you want, even Sydney Sweeney, Katy Perry, all these women who do get hate online. But it just does seem to ratchet up to that extra notch about Meghan Markle.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I think she definitely does get a harder time. And I wonder why that is. I wonder, is it because she, well, I think it's the monarchy thing. There's a lot of resentment towards the monarchy, but that's also tied in with people wanting a traditional kind of English rose like Kate. She is also with the cost of living, like that's really come kind of to the fore in the last kind of 5 years as well. I think she just got a lot of scrutiny. I mean, I don't know if you remember, she took a private jet once to go see Elton John. She went to see Elton John. Just as you do, for pop in for a cup of tea. And so she got a lot of flack for that, obviously, because she does go on about, which not so much now, but she used to go on a lot about the environment around that time. But lots of people do that, like Taylor Swift must take, you know, how many private jets does she take a year? Katy Perry, you mentioned there. Yeah, so she does get a harder time. Again, I think she is like ridiculously beautiful. She really is. And that kind of gets people's attention and it does sell papers and it does get people clicking. And I think it does kind of rub people up that, you know, she's barreling on regardless. Like she's, you know, even in that Christmas festive special, like she's just, it's almost like she's in a world of her own. She's relentless and she's going to be optimistic. And I think that just, people just don't really like that. They think she's pushy and self-promoting. For instance, I think this kind of encapsulates everything, right? So there was a fashion show. It was Balenciaga. Do you know, it's a French fashion house. And they had a fashion show there last month. And Meghan turned up and she was dressed in white and she's pals with the creative director. And it was all over the press. Like there was this big surprise visit. But then there was a few stories started popping out there a few weeks ago saying, oh, Meghan actually pushed herself into that. She actually invited herself. She kind of forced herself into that. But actually, I decided to follow that up because I said to my sister, what do you think of Meghan Markle? And she was like, oh God, like she's so self-promoting. Like that fashion show, she was the one who orchestrated that. But when I looked into it, those stories were coming from, so there was an interview with the creative director, who is her pal, and in The Cut. And he said, yeah, we've been texting for years. We get on great. And, you know, Meghan reached out and I said, great, let's come along. And you know, we'll keep it a secret and it'll be a big surprise. So yes, she did reach out and say, I'll be in Paris. But it wasn't like she forced herself on or said, I will be attending. Like she just said, I can come and support you. What do you think? And he said, great. And then she also did a Harper's Bazaar interview about it. And she herself said, I reached out and I said, well, I support you. So, I mean, it's just the way it's taken up. It's kind of like the narrative is imposed on her actions. But if you just dig a little underneath, you'll see that actually it's not really, she's not that bad. She's not this evil, pushy, which is how she portrayed. She's actually quite a genuine woman. She is very American, but that's just the way she is, you know. But yeah, she does get, it's a very negative slant on everything she does.
You mentioned there, Mary, the negative slant that the media always seems to put on stories about Meghan. That definitely seemed to be the case over the past few days with these claims that she had no plans to see her father in hospital as he recovers from having a leg amputated.
Yes. So it sounds, on the face of it, it sounds very heartless. And there's been a lot of articles about this. He actually got sick just around the time when her Christmas special came out. So there was like a flurry of headlines about heartless Meg. But actually, in the recent days, he's doing more balanced reporting. But the problem with Meghan's dad, Tom, is that he's totally sold her down the river. Like, he's been basically selling his story to the tabloid press. It all started back before their wedding in 2018. He was supposed to actually walk Meghan down the aisle. I mean, it's gone from that to absolute, like, estrangement. And what happened was he posed for a bunch of pictures in his wedding suit, and at the time he was a recluse in Mexico, so he, you know, he hadn't seen her in a few years. But you know, she spoke well of him in, on her lifestyle website, The Tig. She said that, you know, her father was very special to her, so they did have an okay relationship. But he then, I think he was actually taken advantage of, because the press really cozied up to him. And, you know, suddenly he's a kind of a recluse and suddenly he's got all this attention. And so basically it started off, it didn't go well. He sold the pictures of getting ready for the wedding, and then he actually had a heart attack and he couldn't come to the wedding. And then after that, he was in documentaries talking about Meghan and how she owed him because he helped pay her school fees and her college fees. And it was just, you know, your father, he's supposed to be the person who's out there defending you to the end of the earth, you know, and to be portrayed like that. And I think with Harry, just he's so sensitive anyway with his past, with, you know, with the phone hacking. And I'm sure it was for himself and Meghan, it was like, this is the last thing we need, is someone, a family member who's selling our story. So it's very, very hurtful. So at the moment now, he's in hospital. He had part of his leg amputated. He's in hospital in the Philippines, where Meghan's brother lives. And there's a Daily Mail, the US editor. She's a great pal of his now. So when he lived in California for a bit a few years ago, she really cozied up to him. So they're really good pals. So she's been camped out at his bedside. So, I mean, obviously, Meghan doesn't want to ring if she's literally going to be sitting there listening to everything. And she's been reporting. There's been a lot of articles about this. So it's been really tricky. So apparently she sent him a letter last week. So that's, nobody has an update, but there's lots of speculation what was in that letter. But she has written to him now. So, but again, it's the negative slant. If you actually drill into the facts, he totally betrayed Meghan, which is why they're estranged. But you just don't really get that from a lot of the coverage.
And what do we know about the relationship between Meghan and her father? Like, I gather they've been estranged since at least 2018?
Like, her father and her mother, Doya, they got divorced when Meghan was really young. He has been around her life. He was a successful lighting director. So he kind of helped her out with her career when she was getting into acting and she was doing Suits. And I mean, he's helped her out. Like, she said that before. So I guess it makes it probably even more hurtful that now he has completely, his head has been totally turned by, you know, the press, and he's been selling stories and been taken advantage of. But also Meghan has two half siblings and they seem to have taken against her as well. I mean, it's very difficult for Meghan, you know. I mean, he hasn't met Harry and he hasn't met their two kids, Archie and Lilibet, either, which is really, really sad. I mean, anyone who's been estranged from their family, like, you know, it is a very, very sad story. But it seems on the face of it that they did have an okay relationship, and then it just absolutely went belly up when she got with Harry.
Finally, Mary, I wonder if, because if you look at the content of what was in that Christmas special and making the platter and having guests over and talking about good food and sharing family time and making crackers, if she had done that as the Duchess of Sussex, does that get a different reception?
Yeah, I think it does. I think the way she uses her title, that definitely rubs people up. You know, she can't really win there, Sean, like, because she didn't have her kids on set and she was lambasted for that. But if she had them on set, she would have been lambasted for trying to make money out of her kids. Her dog was padding around, very cute dog. Sadly, he passed away.
Oh, that was the saddest bit of the whole lot.
In January, which makes me think this was actually filmed last year. It was, you know, when you think about behind the scenes. But yeah, you're right. It's because of who she is. If that was Katy Perry or Gwyneth Paltrow, let's take Gwyneth Paltrow, she might have got slagged. Like, she would have got slagged, right? But she wouldn't have got, like, such a vitriolic reception, you know. But I think, yeah, it's because she's got the royal title and because they've left the royal institution. Because, and I mean, you can kind of see why they left. Because they, you know, they got so much abuse and they just want to make money their own way. And they weren't really allowed to control the media themselves when they were part of the institution. So they, you know, and Meghan would prefer the American press. They're a lot more positive. And for instance, the Harper's Bazaar interview, it's very positive, you know.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, you're right. She would have got more flack for that.
Yeah. And they are making money in their own way. I was just actually looking at her website while you were talking there. Her trio of jams will set you back $36. Her signature candle, $64. Honey duo box, $62. And a mulling spice kit for a bargain, hot toddy mulling spice kit, $16. So there you go. She is making some money. And people are obviously buying this as well. I think they sell out fairly regularly as well. Mary, thanks for coming on the podcast today. That was Mary McCarthy. If you haven't already overdosed on Christmas content, you can watch watch With Love, Meghan, Holiday Celebrations on Netflix, and maybe watch it with a different eye now that we've had that chat. Sussed out that this actually is what her personality is like, rather than, she's just sickeningly American rather than being sickening, I suppose, is what we're coming out of saying here. That's it from today's News Talk Daily. Thank you as always for your company. You'll find us on the Go Loud Player or wherever you get your podcasts. Until the next time, see you soon.